Ladies and gentlemen, please stand by. Good day and welcome to the AnaCap Financial Europe Q2 2021 Financial Results Release Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. And now at this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Eric Verret. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the AnaCap Financial Europe SA-CCAP Rate Q2 2021 presentation. As set out on page 2 of the presentation, Joseph and I will take you through the presentation, and then we'll open the line to the Q&A session at the end. In addition to the Q&A session, please remember you can send any questions to info@anacapfe.com or to the website at www.anacapfe.com. Details can be found at the end of the presentation. Before we begin, can I please draw your attention to page 1 with a disclaimer, which highlights that the presentation is produced solely for informational purposes and cautions against any forward-looking statement. And by attending this call and reviewing the presentation, you are agreeing to the limitations set out on page 1 of the presentation. I will now pass on to Justin Salzer for the 2021 highlights.
Thanks, and good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. I'm very pleased to report that despite a challenging backdrop for much of the year to date, Q2 was another strong quarter for AIF. It was the strongest quarter for collections since prior to the onset of COVID in Q1 2020, with collections up over 11% on prior year. Despite significant continued investment in our platform, the company maintains low fixed costs while striving efficiencies in our collections activity, with the cost-to-collect ratio down in H1 to 19.3% from 22.3% in the prior year. This has resulted in strong cash generation, with Q2 adjusted EBITDA up almost 30% on prior year. This has further bolstered ample available liquidity, totaling 80 million euros as at the end of June, as we continue to ramp up deployment once again across a growing range of attractive, predominantly real estate secured opportunities. With 22.5 million euros deployed in Q2, plus an additional 30.9 million euros already signed and scheduled to complete in H2, the company has already secured almost 60% of our full year deployment target. Given continued growth in the pipeline and significant excess liquidity, we will certainly look to capitalize further in the second half of the year. Overall, with a further ramp up in collections also expected in H2, we are increasingly confident in leverage continuing to trend lower, expected to decrease to below 4x in 2022. I will now turn it over to Ed Green for more detail on Q2's operational performance.
Thank you, Justin. So another successful quarter, marking a period of 6 successive quarters where we have exceeded cash collections target. And touching on the highlights in each region, starting with Italy on page 7. Italy finished the quarter on 13.6 million of collections, 1.8 million or 15.5% ahead of target, bringing H1 collections in Italy to 20% ahead of target. Like previous quarters, we've maintained our focus on cash and core acceleration, delivering 5.4 million over the quarter. As a positive development versus the last 3 quarters, this 5.4 million only represented 39% of our collections versus circa 60% observed in previous quarters, as our local team continued to unlock growth in other collection channels, including the targeted sales of sub-portfolios of our unsecured book to optimize ERC and NPV, and a program of driving amicable resolutions from our secured book. With the court system in Italy now operating at normal capacity, our focus for the second half of the year will be leveraging our local team to drive velocity in the legal progression of our secured NPL book, whilst, as per this quarter, maintaining momentum on cash in court, amicables, and targeted sub-portfolio sales. Moving to Portugal on page 8, collections in Portugal underperformed in the quarter, delivering 78% of target, in line with what was achieved in Q1. This underperformance has been solely driven by a new lockdown in the Portugal courts, which were closed between mid-January and mid-April. Courts have now reopened, with a backlog estimated at 2 to 3 months. Our focus has been on the active marketing of repossessed real estate assets. And while we fell short of our cash collections targets, we capitalized on the positive dynamics in the real estate market and delivered asset resolutions that were on average 10% ahead of expectations. Moving to Spain on page 9, Q2 collections in Spain were in line with targets, bringing the H1 performance to 16% ahead. The Spanish court system has now returned to near full capacity, although significant backlogs exist in certain regions, and the ability to make in-person visits to drive activity on cases has been severely reduced. Our focus in Spain is on greater internalization, i.e. bringing portfolios from third-party services into our own platform, where our forensic, hands-on approach to driving activity continues to unlock enhanced performance. And our team in Spain has recently been strengthened by 3 senior asset management hires with a track record at large servicing counterparties and a complementary skill set across real estate, amicable negotiation, and legal collections. Moving to page 10, our other jurisdictions, we've continued the trend observed in Italy and Spain, delivering 27.5% outperformance. And in each jurisdiction, we've continued our focus on driving a clear subset of key initiatives. Notable highlights have been in Romania, where, as in Portugal, we've capitalized on favorable real estate dynamics, delivering asset sales 28% ahead of business plan. And finally, on page 11, a few words on key developments on our approach to sustainability. We continue to balance the drive for performance with our organizational objectives on sustainability and ESG, and continue our focus on working with partners with aligned customer-centric approaches. We strengthened our approach to new partner onboarding, embedding ESG and diversity and inclusion DD as a fundamental part of our standard due diligence suite. And for existing partners, we have also incorporated ESG and DMI as part of our standard audit process. In parallel, despite the constraints imposed by COVID-19, we've continued our community outreach, communication, and education program. I'll now hand over to Eric to walk through key financial highlights.
Thank you, Ed. I'll now quickly cover the financial highlights, turning to page 13. As Justin mentioned at the beginning, the group had a strong financial performance in H1. The group can report the best quarter of collections since Q1 2020 with 26.2 million of collections for the quarter, representing an 11.3% increase compared to Q2 2020. Gross attributable collections for the first half were 44.8 million, which was 8.9% higher than the target set out at the last reforecast in December 2020. As Ed explained before, the overperformance was driven by proactive asset management by the group's dedicated master servicing platforms and a strong collection performance of 13.6 million in Italy, which included the sale of a pool of low recovery assets within a legacy portfolio for 4 million. Revenues for the first half were at 30.8 million, which was 7% lower than last year, but adjusted EBITDA was 30.1 million, which is 9% above last year. Please note that the reconciliation of gross attributable collection and adjusted EBITDA is on page 23 and 24 of the presentation. On deployment, as Justin mentioned, AIF deployed 22.7 million in Q2, and with recently signed and closed deals, we have visibility to 57.4 million of deployment in 2021, which represent close to 60% of our 2021 deployment target of 97 million. The 3 deals closed in the quarter included 2 secured NPL portfolios in Italy for 600,000 and 1.6 million, and the purchase of an office building in Paris in a 50-50 JV with the ANACAP Credit Fund 4. The signed and closed deals in the quarter have an expected gross money multiple of around 1.7 times. The higher than expected collection Q1 meant that ERC dropped slightly to 469.8 million. Finally, net debt was 337.2 million, which was in line with our Q1 target and 1.7% higher than Q2 2020. Turning to page 14, you can see the quarterly collections, operating costs, and adjusted EBITDA performance. The company has been able to generate strong cash flow through increased collections and lower operating costs, translating in a 19.4 million adjusted EBITDA for the quarter, which is 29% above Q2 2020. Even with significant increase in collection Q2 2021, the company maintained a very attractive cost structure with cost to collect decreasing to 19.3% in H1 and total operating cost ratio decreasing to 33.5%. Please note also that for the computation of the cost ratio, we use core collections, which differs from attributable gross collections used for ERC, A reconciliation for Q2 2021 collection is on page 24. Turning to page 15, as you can see, the company reduced leverage to 6.06 times as at Q2 and is expected to continue to decrease to below 4 times by 2022. As at the end of Q2, the LTV ratio was at 71.8% compared to 75% for the covenant. LTV is also expected to decrease as deployment ramps up and is expected to finish the year at around 65%. On the liquidity front, we had $80 million of liquidity available at the end of the quarter. This, combined with our remaining gross attributable collection target of $69 million for the rest of the year, means that we have sufficient liquidity to fund our remaining 2021 deployment target of $70 million. As an update on the RCF, the three existing RCF lenders have obtained their approval for an extension of facility in December 2023. We are currently in discussion with two other banks to add at least one bank to the syndicate to diversify the banking group. We're aiming to complete the amendment by October. Now, turning to page 16, the graph represents the 84-month ERC walk between December 2021 and June 2021. As you can see, the acceleration of collection has not been completely compensated by new ERC as at the end of Q2, which resulted in a small decrease of 1.2% of ERC to $468.9 million. With deals closed and signed post Q2 and current pipeline, we expect ERC to grow again in the coming quarters and finish the year above $500 million. I will now hand over to Justin for the strategic outlook.
Thanks, Eric. Turning to slide 18, as evidenced by the significant jump in deployment in Q2, the pipeline continues to grow as new opportunities emerge across geographies and asset types. Our primary focus currently remains on real estate secured assets, with more than 80% of our current pipeline secured by hard assets. Recent deployment includes further Italian real estate secured NPLs, as well as direct real estate opportunities across several markets, including the UK, France, and Italy. We believe that we have been able to continue to cherry pick high quality assets at increasingly attractive returns from highly motivated sellers, including non-core assets from banks facing further potential markdowns, as well as secondary assets from investors seeking liquidity. With almost 60% of the full year budget already at least signed, if not closed or fully funded, we are increasingly confident in achieving or potentially exceeding our full year deployment target, particularly in light of the typically busy year-end period still to come. Having said that, these are not normal times where we are typically transacting outside of traditional auctions with often protracted timelines as we seek to provide solutions to often complex, if not highly distressed, situations. Turning to slide 19, here we show average gross money multiples by annual vintage, with deployment ramping up again at consistently higher returns than where we were a few years ago. As you can see here, deployment completed and already signed year to date represents aggregate target returns above 1.7 times, with the current pipeline averaging still higher at greater than 1.8 times. Although we have yet to see new primary volume and NPL disposals ramp up as much as expected, given what remains a relatively benign credit backdrop in spite of COVID, we have been able to find a growing range of secondary opportunities as well as motivated sellers and off-the-run transactions at increasingly attractive returns. With further challenges likely still to come as the world remains, as the world attempts to return to something resembling a more normal environment, we do expect at least pockets of further economic distress. Whilst liquidity remains abundant and demand for assets high, we do not believe everything will move in a straight line, and we will seek to continue to capitalize on emerging opportunities across Europe. Thanks again for your time today. We're happy now to take any questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you can signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. Keep in mind, if you are using a speakerphone, please make sure the mute function is released so that signal can reach our equipment. Once again, for questions today, star 1. We will pause to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. We do have our first question in the queue. Karen Miles with Credit Suisse, please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks. Just a quick one for me. Just on Portugal, so you mentioned that the courts reopened in April. Obviously, the quarter came in a little bit below, I think, what you had hoped for. I was just curious how the courts are – how are things going now? Like, you know, July, August, I assume, was quiet, but early days of September? Like, is it catching up as you'd hoped, or do you think it might still be kind of maybe underperforming versus some of the other countries?
Yeah, sure. I'll take that one. So we definitely expected a 2 to 3 month backlog once the courts reopened in mid-April. We have obviously observed that backlog through the course of Q2, where Q2's continued to perform at the levels that we observed in Q1. However, post the summer period returning, we're now starting to see greater activities in the courts. So we do expect collections in Portugal to increase over the remainder of the year. So I think in summary, we're confident that courts are getting back to normal and that those delays have now been appropriately incorporated into our forecasts.
Okay, that's great. And then just, I know you reiterated the sub 4 times by end of 22. Is it fair to say that still aiming for 4.5 times by year end, but year end 21?
We'd like to be lower than that. Obviously, it depends on the collection and deployment. I think we'd like to be below the 4.5 by year end. Yeah.
Okay, great. And the last for me is just on the RCF. So you said thinking about adding a third into the syndicate. The original proposal was just to roll it 1 year. Can you just remind, is there any change to the size? And if not, is it just 1 year extension?
It would be an extension to December 23, and the objective is to bring a fourth bank, the syndicate, to diversify, to potentially over time, as we roll the ERC back, to increase the size. But as of now, the size will be kept at the 90 million.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys. Nice quarter.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll pause for another moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. With no additional questions in our queue, I will turn the call back over to your host for any additional or closing remarks.
Thanks, everybody. If there's any other question, please do send us an email. Happy to reply if you have anything else. But thanks for your time.
With that, ladies and gentlemen, this will conclude your conference for today. We do thank you for your participation, and you may now disconnect.